Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Mike Sheila, and we're going to be talking about sales, marketing, and maximizing LinkedIn. In 2011, Mike began sharing his insights and perspectives on LinkedIn with audiences throughout Maryland. In 2015, he founded Mike Sheila Consulting to work directly with companies and sales professionals nationwide to help them find more customers and find them fast, leveraging the power of LinkedIn. Mike uses his experience to evangelize the value of LinkedIn and assist those in the job market wanting to find their dream job and to get to the front of the applicant list. For more information, you can visit his website, which is www.mikesheila.com, and that's MikeSheLah.com, and I do have a direct link to Mike's website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Mike to the show. Good day, Mike.
Robert, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm looking forward to this.
As am I. From the first time that we connected, I've been thinking about LinkedIn, and I am certainly one of those people I know who does not maximize it, and then I'm really looking forward to finding out some tips on how to do that and just learning more about LinkedIn. But I would love, if you wouldn't mind, share with the listeners a little bit about your experience, your history with LinkedIn and the whole marketing and sales aspect and how it is, what led you to kind of specializing in this particular application?
Sure thing. My story begins in 1999 when I got into technology sales. There was a real boom, particularly in the telecommunications business. It seemed like anyone could open up a phone company. And I lucked into working for one of the largest phone companies that was a competitor at the time. And the model was pretty straightforward. As a salesperson, I had access to a Hoover's list. Hoover's was an online company that produced telephone numbers for you with the name of a contact and the name of the company. And I could target those lists down to specific areas where I could provide my service. And I would dial for dollars. I would make 100 phone calls in a day. I could set up 3 or 4 appointments during that day. I would do that 2 or 3 times a week. I'd spend the rest of the days meeting people on appointments. I'd help sell my quota, and I'd repeat again the following week. And I was very successful that way for a long time. And I want to say around 2006 or so, that process really stopped working. And I think it was a couple of things. First, the economy was going through a very bad spot. And people just didn't want to talk to salespeople because they felt like they didn't have the money to invest in their company. They were too busy trying to keep payroll going. That was the first item. And then in combination with that, the popularity of caller ID. If you think about it, in the late 90s and the early 2000s, caller ID wasn't a standard feature on a business phone. Now, show me a business phone that doesn't have caller ID. And like so many of us listening today, if you see a number come across your dial and you don't know who that person is, you're not answering. And the number one avenue I had for getting in front of a decision maker had almost vanished. And I had to think of another way to find my clients. I started doing some research on the internet, and it seems like every time I would look up a company or I would look up a job title, in my case, a very popular job title was Chief Information Officer or CIO for technology. Every time I looked that up, the first hit that I would see on the search page was their LinkedIn profile. And I started exploring LinkedIn, and I would find that not only would it tell me their name and their company and show me a picture of them, but it would show me where they went to high school and where they went to college and what organizations they volunteer for and what are their activities they do for fun. And a lot of times they already knew somebody that I knew. And that was the easiest way for me to get introduced. I could pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Bob, I noticed on LinkedIn you're connected to Mary. Would you mind introducing me to Mary?"
Yeah. You know, that's the one thing. Your comment about looking people up and having LinkedIn kind of be the first thing that popped up, that happens to me all the time. And it's, you know, and I find it very interesting. It just seems that for some reason, LinkedIn really is, it comes up really high up on searches quite often, no matter what. If someone's connected on there, then it seems like it always comes up very high in the list.
LinkedIn worked very hard with their own internal search algorithms, and those algorithms really do mimic what you see in SEO on platforms like Google and Yahoo and Bing.
Yeah. Well, you know, so one of the things I want to kind of explore, you know, LinkedIn, it's interesting. You mentioned we have Bob Graham here in the chat room listening there. Anyway, he just mentioned you there, Mike. So when it comes to LinkedIn, let me explore first of all when it comes time to maximizing that platform, how important is it to have a clear definition of your product or service? It seems like when it comes time to, first of all, to trying to get that business, that one of the key things to start with is having a clear definition of that product or service.
That's a good way to phrase it. I'm going to take that a step further. And you want to really frame your profile as if you are the customer, meaning if you're looking up your product or your service, what keywords would a potential client use to look you up? For example, in the telecom world, there's a lot of different products that fall under the term telecom. And depending on which one your customer needs will dictate how they find you. And a lot of people in a specific industry, they'll use the banner name of their industry. They'll use accounting. They'll use telecom. They'll use engineering. They'll use education. And those words are important to your industry, but they're not the only word that makes up your industry. And what I suggest to people is look up your competitors. Look up 10 or 15 of your competitors, and what you will begin to notice is there'll be a handful of 10 or 15 words that keep showing up over and over again in each one. And I don't mean fluff words like dynamic or enthusiastic or words like that. I mean relevant key words to your product or service. And you want to find those words because you want to move yourself up the LinkedIn search rankings. You want to appear as high or higher as your competition. And you want to come up with a few other words that maybe your competition didn't think of, but they're relevant to your product and service. They could even be a differentiator.
Okay, so, and this kind of fits in with a question that we have in the chat room. So when it comes time to basically looking at the profile, setting up these keywords, definitely look for keywords that are used by competitors, someone in the industry, and also have a few unique ones for yourself. So, and is it is it these keywords that drive the search engine to kind of recognize you more often?
They are one of the critical components. When you're building a profile, you want those keywords to show up frequently. You want your name to show up frequently. And you want to make sure that you have a full and complete profile. And what I mean by that is when most people set up their profile, they may or may not put in a profile picture. Having a picture moves you towards having a complete profile status, moves you up the ranking. Having a summary section moves you up the ranking. Having an advice for contact section moves you up the ranking. Having the volunteer section, adding the academic honors, adding certification. The more sections you add to your profile will move you higher up LinkedIn search rankings compared to your competition.
Okay, great. Now, what if you're what if you offer both products and services? Is it best to focus on one, or is it, you know, is it okay to go ahead and, you know, have keywords in for both types of things that you offer?
You want to have keywords for both, and I'll use telecom again as an example. It's a very generic term, telecom, and it can apply to a whole suite of services. I'd rather a customer searching for telecom call me and ask me a question and have to tell them, sorry, I don't do that, than for them to assume that I can't do it.
Ah, okay.
So there's value to casting a wider net.
Okay, good, great. Now, and also with video, is it, how would adding video somewhere in the profile be beneficial? And if so, where would one put that?
You can attach video in your summary section, which I highly recommend. You can also add it under a specific job, which I also highly recommend. And each category allows you to add images, allows you to add PowerPoints via the SlideShare platform. It allows you to add documents. If you're in the job market, you can add a resume. If you work for a specific company and you're promoting a specific product, you can upload the collateral page for that specific product. And those things aren't static. You can add them and delete them and modify them daily if you see fit for that.
Okay, great. Well, great. That's good. So the first step then in maximizing this platform is making sure that you have a complete and well-defined profile.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, what about you know, what? Okay, so once we get that particular done, that step done, what are maybe an additional step or two, once I've got that complete, what would be the next step that I would want to take to go ahead and try and find those customers that I'm really looking for?
The first thing I'll tell you is what I like to refer to as my ABCs on LinkedIn. And the first ABC is always be connecting. It amazes me how often people will be very specific on who they connect with. And I want to clarify, I don't endorse just connecting to anyone. But think about it this way. Start with your friends. Start with your family. Start with your coworkers. Start with that person that you volunteer with. You want to cast that warm, influential net as wide as possible, because when you go to do your advanced searches, you'll be amazed at how many people know someone that you want to know. And that's the power of the second degree connection. Second degree means I have at least one mutual contact with that person. And that is that is the real value of the LinkedIn platform, is knowing someone that knows someone that you want to know.
Right. Okay, good. Now, you said about not just connecting with anyone. That's one of the questions that I see when it comes for me to connect with people on LinkedIn. I have just basically limited it to the people that I know, who I've worked with, who I can actually, sure. You know, if someone were to come to me and say, you know, you work with Joe, you have a connection with Joe, and you know, what was your working relationship with him? You know, that kind of thing, so that I could actually have experience sure. with that. Now, and you know, every now and then there may be a second degree, you know, or kind of a connection, someone who wants to connect with me on LinkedIn, and if I look at their profile and it's kind of, it looks like it could be a mutually beneficial kind of connection, then I'll go ahead and look at that. But when I get someone who's like fourth and fifth degree, you know, people I don't know, I've been reluctant to connect with them because I just have no idea. And to me, it seems like they're just trying to connect for the sake of connecting and really not. So what's your opinion on that?
You made some very true statements there, Robert. Here's my general guideline. I look for, as you said, does their industry line up with mine? Is that a good opportunity for us to partner together? Or are they a good client for me? If the answer to that is yes, then I accept the request, and I immediately send them a message, thank you for connecting. What about my profile interested you in connecting with me today? I look forward to working. If I don't have that
okay.
interest, if you will, then I look at, did they customize the invitation? That's another ABC on LinkedIn. Always be customized. Did they send me a customized connection request at the time, like, I saw you speak at the Baltimore Business Journal last week, really enjoyed your presentation. Hi, Mike. We both went to UMBC together. I don't know if you remember me. But did they do something to personalize? Because 9 times out of 10, if they did, I'm going to accept that, unless it's something off the wall.
Right.
And the last thing, if I don't know them and they don't fit any of the previous criteria, I don't delete the request. I respond to the request. When you look at it, there's an accept button, there's a delete button, and then there's a little chat bubble right above their name that allows you to respond to the connection request. Now, this only works on PCs. You can't do this on your smartphone, and I don't believe you can do it on your tablet either. So this is only on a computer, PC, or laptop. But you can respond, and what I do is I say, hey, thanks for reaching out, Steve. I don't believe we've met before. What about my profile interested you in connecting with me? And then I give them 3 to 4 business days to respond. And
mm-hmm.
a fair amount of time, they respond. But if they don't respond after 3 or 4 days, my opinion is, well, how serious were they about connecting with me if they couldn't even respond to my question in 3 or 4 days?
Okay. Okay, well, that's good, you know, and see, now there you've provided me with something that I have not done before, you know, is the response bubble to people that I don't know that have that, you know, that multiple degree of connection. And, you know, I'll be honest, up to this point, I've just deleted them, but I'm going to go ahead and follow through on that because I guess, you know, because there could be some missed opportunities there that I'm not taking advantage of. Okay, well, great. So now I'm going to kind of also kind of keep in with that, the idea of you know, maybe people that we don't know. One of my guests, former guests, and when I mentioned about having you on the show, they wanted me to kind of present to you was, you know, in the in LinkedIn you have the ability to recommend or what's its word you kind of give a Endorsement, thank you. Endorsement for particular skills and that kind of thing. One of the person that I was talking with said, you know, I just got an endorsement from someone, you know, that is for a skill that I don't even have, I don't even do. Now, I'd love for you to talk just a little bit about endorsements and, you know, why is it, how is it that some skills that maybe one does not have or even have listed in a profile get, how does it come up where you can be endorsed for something that you don't do?
Sure. And full disclaimer, for the longest time I told people that endorsements were a colossal waste of time. But about a year ago, LinkedIn started factoring them into your search ranking. The more endorsements you have relevant to your industry, the higher you will move up the LinkedIn search rankings. As a result, they are a good idea to have. Now, you can't directly control endorsements. For example, LinkedIn will suggest endorsements based on other endorsements that people have made of you already in the past, and will also recommend endorsements to you about me based on my industry.
Okay.
And for the longest time, I had many endorsements for products that I certainly had familiarity with, but weren't strengths of mine.
Right.
And the nice thing is, you can control them. You can manipulate them. When you look at your endorsement list, there's like a top 10 that are featured prominently, and then below that it says, Mike also knows about, and other random endorsements there. And you can move them up and down, and you can take items out of your top 10 list and move them down to the also knows about list to help show what you really want to feature about your skill set.
Okay. Okay, so if there's something that isn't necessarily, you know, part of my repertoire, let's say I even though I do blog, but let's say I'm not a blogger, but it shows me as I get an endorsement from someone saying for blogging, and it shows up in the of my, you know, skill set, then in that particular case, I would want to move that down to the lower part. That there would be something that I would know about, but not necessarily, you know, one of my strengths or selling points.
Yep, you can. It's as simple as drag and drop.
Okay, great. Good. Okay. that's good to know. Boy, I've already got my work cut out for me here. One of the things, well, let me just start with what is one of your pet peeves when it comes to people using LinkedIn?
My biggest pet peeve is the profile picture. I tell people
all
the time, LinkedIn is not Facebook. Your picture should be you, your professional attire, with a neutral background. It should be a close-up. I can clearly see the details of your face. And the picture should be current. It should be no more than 3 to 5 years old. The picture shouldn't be you with your family, you with the dog, you leaning on your car, you drinking a beer, you at a cocktail party. It shouldn't be a wedding photo from your cousin's wedding last summer. It needs to be professional. And it literally is the first impression you're making on a potential client.
Right. So, and personal, not anything like your logo or anything like that, but a personal picture of you, correct?
Correct. And that is a great point. I've seen many people put their company logo in their profile picture. And I will concede that for a small business that is very regional in nature, that could work for you. But I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't put that clear profile picture of yourself.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. All right. Well, let me go ahead and I do want to invite listeners that if you would like to ask Mike any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat and you have some questions you would like to for me to pose to Mike, feel free to type them in. And I do want to thank Bob for posting some questions as well. So, again, if you have any, we're going to be taking a quick break in a moment, and then we will, you know, get to those questions afterwards if we have them there. Okay, so I guess, you know, since that was kind of your pet peeve, let me, maybe if you wouldn't mind sharing, what is your favorite success story from using LinkedIn?
Sure. But probably the most recent one, this ties into my last big ABC of LinkedIn, which is always be cultivating. And what I mean by that is you can plant a seed of success today that may not bear fruit for 3 or 4 years from now. That doesn't make it less valuable. It just means now's not the right time to reap the rewards. And I'll give an example. I have a fraternity brother of mine who is a prominent C-level executive for a nonprofit here in Baltimore. And I was looking at his LinkedIn profile one day, and I noticed that he was connected to somebody who would make a good client for me. And I reached out, and I said, "Hey, Bill, would you mind introducing me to Art?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll do it." Have a conversation with Art. It's not the right place, not the right time. But Art and I stay in contact with each other. We remain friendly. This was probably 5 years ago. And then about 3 years ago, I engaged Art in another conversation. I had recently started with a new company, and he worked very hard to try and get me in the door on several opportunities, and none of those worked. And then about a year and a half later, he moved on to another company in Annapolis, and that company is looking for professional technical support. They're looking for a company to analyze their infrastructure, tell them everything that's going on, and make recommendations to improve. And he hires my company for a very small project. But it was a sale, and it was an opportunity to do business. Out of that one sale, that company went on to buy another order from us where they spent $70,000 a year with us, and then they went on to buy another order from us that spent another $120,000 a year with us, and they hired us for professional services to the tune of about $30,000 to help them with a technology migration that they didn't have the manpower to support. All told, that customer ended up spending over $200,000 in their first year with the company I was working for at the time. And that,
all right,
relationship took 3 or 4 years, but it started with a fraternity brother making an introduction for me on LinkedIn and me cultivating the relationship over time.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. I mean, because we're often in such a society that we really look for immediate results constantly, you know, rather than looking long term, you know, and cultivating the. It seems that the key is cultivating those relationships, and making them, you know, making them be something that people would if they have a need that, you know, that you can provide, then you're going to be top on their mind when it comes to fulfilling that need.
That is right. It is about patience and timing and delivering value.
Great. Well, we're about halfway through the show, Mike, so I want to take just a quick break and again invite anyone, if you'd like to call in, 619-789-4359. And then when we come back from the break, it's only about a 90-second break, Mike, but when we come back, I want to talk about maximizing and utilizing LinkedIn in the job search for both people who are in between jobs right now and then also for the college student, you know, those entering the workforce, okay?
Sounds exciting.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Mike Sheila, and we're talking about sales, marketing, and maximizing LinkedIn. And again, you can find out more about Mike and his services by visiting his website, which is www.mikesheila.com. That's MikeSheLah.com. And again, I do have a direct link to Mike's website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Mike.
Hello. Let's talk.
Hello. Great. Okay, so let's now talk about utilizing LinkedIn as a tool for getting that dream job. So if you wouldn't mind just kind of just talk right off, you know, how those who are in between jobs, not the college student entering the force, we'll do that in a minute, but those who are right now either in a job that they really want to shift to their dream job, or they're in between jobs and really want to try and find that ideal job.
Well, Robert, the process, regardless of being a college student or being a 30-year corporate veteran, are largely the same.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that I point out to the college students that I get to work with is you want to optimize your profile for the job that you want, not the job that you have. Now, sometimes it's the same thing. Perhaps you want to do what you're doing but do it at a different company. But that's the first step, is optimizing that profile to the job that you want. And again, that gets back to keywords, skills, experiences, recommendations, all those things that make you look attractive to a potential employer. That's the passive component. When I train on LinkedIn, I talk about passive and active attraction. And that's the passive component. When you build that profile and you optimize that profile and you have the right keywords and you make it easy for people to contact you, it helps you and your job search tremendously. The active side is, once you've decided what it is that you want to do, you want to find 10 companies in your area that you would like to work for. Why would you like to work for them? They resonate with you from a cultural standpoint. you have friends that work there or you've heard of people that work there that really love the scope of the company, what they stand for, the products they deliver, how they manufacture. Find a company that has cultural alignment with what you believe in and find about 10 of them. Once you have those 10, you want to research each company on LinkedIn. First, follow them all on LinkedIn. You look the company up, you can click the follow button. Anytime they make an update, you'll get notified of it. And that can be valuable information. If I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. If XYZ Company announces on their page that they're opening a 30,000-square-foot facility in downtown Baltimore, that might be an opportunity for me to go work for them because they're probably going to need a sales force and they're probably going to be looking for salespeople. Little things like that that you want to keep in the top of your mind when you're looking at companies. The next thing is recognizing that by the time a job gets posted online, it's a pretty dead and wrinkled job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you want to do is you want to identify a job before it makes it out to the public, because otherwise you're one of 100 people applying for that job and your resume is going to look just like everyone else's. And here's the way that
right.
you do that. You look at your industry and you determine where you are in the rank. And what I mean by that is, are you an office worker? Are you an office manager? Are you a district manager? Are you a regional manager? Are you an executive? Are you a VP? You figure out where you are in that hierarchy of employees. And then, once you know your position, you figure out what is the position right above you at the company that you want to work for. And so, for example, if you're an office manager, maybe you would report into the district manager. If that's the case, you find the district manager on LinkedIn. And what will ideally happen is you will find a district manager that is a second-degree connection, meaning they have more than one or more mutual connections with you. And when you find those people, you then want to reach out to that mutual contact and say, hey, Robert, I looked on LinkedIn and I noticed that you are connected to Bob at XYZ Company, and he's their regional director. I think this is a great opportunity for me. Would you mind introducing me? And then see what comes from that conversation. What normally happens is you get one of three responses. The first response is, gee, sorry, Mike, I don't know Bob all that well. I connected with him on LinkedIn and we never spoke again. Which I would say, well, heck, you know him better than me. Mind making an introduction? And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And then the next layer is them saying, yeah, I know Bob. Bob and I volunteered at XYZ organization together. We were friendly back in college. I'll be happy to introduce you. And then the third layer is the true prospecting gold that you want to find on LinkedIn. When you ask about Bob and the response you get is, do I know Bob? Bob was the best man in my wedding. Bob's my brother-in-law. Bob was my roommate in college. Bob was my childhood best friend. Because when you can get that connection, you're almost assured to get a meeting with the person, even if they have no plans of hiring anyone. And if there's one thing that applies to the sales world that also applies to job hunting, is when a person tells you they're not hiring, it just means they hadn't thought about it yet. I can't tell you how many customers I've had say to me, look, Mike, I'll be happy to meet with you, but we're really not in the market to buy anything right now. Nobody wakes up saying, I want to buy something today. The opportunity
right.
presents itself, and you end up being able to sell to them because you identified a need. And the job market is much the same way. Now, Are there times when people say, gosh, we really need a fill-in-the-blank role? Sure. More often than not, if you get in front of the decision-maker and you show your competency and your value as an employee, they're going to go out of their way to try and bring you on board.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. If you can identify that value-added component, then, you know, any good business person is going to take a real close look at that.
The important thing is you have to take all those ABCs I talked about earlier, the always be connecting, always be customizing, always be cultivating. I'll give you a great example. I was doing a one-on-one session with a student from UMAB, which is University of Maryland at Baltimore, a few months back. And when we were talking through her profile, she mentioned that she was a first-generation American, that her parents were both Russian immigrants, and she fluently speaks Russian and English. And I said, well, that's incredibly valuable. You have more than one language you can speak fluently. That should be on your profile. And when we got to the always be connecting comment, I said, you want to connect with friends? You want to connect with family? And she said, oh, my family doesn't use LinkedIn. I said, well, you never know. And as we were working through her profile, there's a tab on the right side of the screen that says people you may know.
Right.
And we were going through her profile, and she goes, oh, my gosh, there's my mom. My mom has a profile on LinkedIn. And I said to her, you are convinced your mother doesn't have a profile. How do you know that the one or two connections that your mom does have aren't the person that's going to hire you at your next job? Now, for the most part, as a parent, you want to do anything you can to help a child. I have a 14-year-old daughter. I would do anything for her. But there are a lot of times that things just aren't top of mind unless she says, hey, Dad, can you help me do this? Then I don't think, gosh, I should help my daughter do this.
Right.
But if my daughter came to me and said, hey, Dad, I noticed you're connected to Mary at ABC Company. Would you introduce me to her? Absolutely, I'll introduce you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's an excellent that's really great. And, you know, we have a caller here. So let me go ahead and bring the caller on and see what we got, okay?
Great.
Okay, and the caller is Rob. So, hello, Rob. How are you doing?
Hey, Robert, Mike, how's it going today?
Wonderful.
Great, thanks. How about yourself?
Oh, everything's great. I love the information you're sharing. I've got a question for you, if I can.
Yes.
So, Mike, it sounds like you're on LinkedIn like from 6 in the morning until midnight, 7 days a week. And unfortunately, I've got a life, I've got a wife, a job, a second job. I like to play tennis and golf, and I even watch some baseball from now once in a while. So how do I fit this in, and what's a realistic amount of time that I need to put towards this in a day, a week, or a month to be successful without just – making it my new career?
Robert, you bring up a very good observation. I am on 24 hours a day. I'm a LinkedIn nerd. It's the first application I open up when I wake up in the morning, and it's the last thing I look at before I go to bed at night. But the listening audience doesn't have to do that. What I tell people is to get your profile really optimized and looking good will take you a couple of hours of hard work, of really focusing on doing great things with your profile. And then, from there, it's 10 to 15 minutes of maintenance a day. You can download the app to your phone, and in a few minutes you can click responses to daily updates, you can share some content, engage, and ask questions, and it really doesn't have to take more than 15 minutes a day. Particularly if you're not in a sales role and you're not actively looking for a job, that's more than adequate.
Okay. So do do you recommend doing it in the morning or the afternoon or over lunch? Does it matter? Are there times when people are looking at it more or less in a day that it would benefit me to be on there or doing things?
Certainly the work week is best. And depending on how your network's designed, meaning the types of connections you have, will dictate when people engage. Middle of the day seems to be the most active, that lunch break time. Certainly now, right before the end of the day, you see some activity, but frankly, most people are trying to wrap up, get the heck out of the office and head home. And you'll see a fair amount first thing in the morning as well. People just get to the office, they got the cup of coffee, they sit down at their desk, and they're looking through the latest updates. So my first recommendation would be right around lunchtime, and a 1A would be that first thing in the morning, that 8 to 9 o'clock hour. Those are probably your two best times to engage on the platform.
Can I ask one last question?
Sure, please.
Give me a second. I lost where I was. I wrote it down and I can't read my own scribble. On Facebook often we'll post things more than once. If we're a business, you read that's a good idea. Is it the same thing with LinkedIn? So if I want to tell everyone that I have a new product, should I post that on LinkedIn this morning and then this afternoon and the third time tonight? Or should I do it once a week or just one time and that's it?
Frequency is really going to be up to you. There's a very famous writer named Grant Cardone who wrote a book called 10X Theory. It's 250 pages, and I can summarize it for you in a couple sentences. Whatever you do, do it 10 times more than your competition. And he lives that. I follow him on Twitter, and I kid you not, I probably see 40, 50 tweets from him a day.
Wow.
He buys into that. I think that's a touch excessive. There are a couple of new things that you can do to share content on LinkedIn. And one of my favorites is writing a blog, which they refer to as LinkedIn Pulse. And the big value to LinkedIn Pulse is that when I publish a new blog post, it notifies every single one of my connections. They all get a little message in the top right-hand corner of their screen as a status update that says Mike Sheila just published a new Pulse blog, and it even tells you the title of it so that you can decide, hey, that's an interesting title, I'd like to read it, or nah, I'll read it later.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, that's
thanks,
good.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank
appreciate
you,
you calling. Those are really great questions. All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know. Right. You know, and that's a good one. You know, when you mentioned that 10 times guy and that, you know, you would see 40 tweets. Now, you know, I can see certainly on Twitter, and I've seen it on Twitter too as well, the multiple postings. And I should say I've done it myself. You know, I go ahead and schedule the tweets happening, you know, randomly throughout the week, you know, five times a day or something like that. But, you know, but that's Twitter, and that seems to be like a real quick flow, and your tweet can easily get lost in the flow of things. Whereas in LinkedIn, it seems that that, you know, if people were to look at your, you know, what you've written, that it isn't, you know, it's not as inundated. You know, there aren't as many as it is in the Twitter world. Does that make any sense?
You make a great point. It is easy to get lost in the Twitter world. And one of my favorite things about LinkedIn is that you can look at things in a linear timeline fashion. Unlike Facebook, which insists upon showing you things that they think are important, you can actually go through everything in the order that it's been posted on LinkedIn.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, that's good. All right, guys, we're winding down here. One of the things that you also have talked about is leveraging LinkedIn to help others. You know, throughout the whole show, we've been talking about how we can use LinkedIn for our benefit. How about for helping others? It seems that, you know, that might be an area people really don't give much attention to.
Personally, believe that LinkedIn is a tremendous platform to engage with others about causes that you care about. They have a volunteer section on there for a reason. They want you to talk about the things that you care about and that matter to you. And whether it's personal or professional, the best way to leverage LinkedIn is to do for others. That can be as simple as you writing a recommendation for someone just because you had a positive experience with them. I had a very good friend who was in a very unique sales role. Her office was in Baltimore, but her clients were going to be in Los Angeles, California. And I'd seen that update, and I said, "Hey, Joe, I'm going to make some introductions for you to the couple of resources I have in L.A. And I did several LinkedIn introductions for her to a couple of people that I know very well out on the West Coast. And shortly after that, one of them followed through with me and said, "You know, you and I need to talk about this new business you've launched, Mike, because I'm really interested in what you're doing now." And that wasn't because I pitched him. That was because he had been passively following along in the background all the different things I was doing. And then when I offered to help somebody else, he offered to reciprocate by trying to help me.
Okay. Wow. Now, when you say, first of all, with the introductions, you basically contacted, if these are people that you knew that might have a use of a service that someone else you knew had. So you basically just send them a message, "I want to introduce you to so-and-so, you know, I've worked with her, she does great, you may be able to use her services sometime." Is something like that?
It's even more passive than that. The scenario I was just talking about.
Okay.
I introduced my friend Johanna to friends out in California who are also sales professionals and said, "Hey, I think the two of you are going to be able to help each other. I think some of her clients could be some of your clients and vice versa. And why not compare notes and make introductions for each other that could lead to business for both of you?" And what normally happens with that kind of introduction is enough of those will yield a new client. And I'll give you a great example. I met a gentleman at a networking event several years ago, and it was very obvious he didn't want to talk to any salespeople. But he gave me a business card, and I connected with him on LinkedIn, said, "Hey, Wayne, pleasure meeting you last night." And a couple weeks later, he was mentioned in an article in the Baltimore Business Journal that he was going to be a keynote speaker. I sent him a note and said, "Hey, Wayne, best of luck with your event for the Baltimore Business Journal. I hope you knock him dead." And a few weeks after that, he sends me, or I see that another friend of mine is looking for a job, and it just so happens that his background is perfect for my friend Wayne's business. I send Wayne a LinkedIn message, said, "Hey, Wayne, I want to introduce you to my friend Derek. I think he'd be a perfect fit for your company and thought you might like to talk to him." At this point, Wayne picks up the phone and calls me. And he spends 20, 30 minutes talking to me. "Well, how do you know Derek? And what is his background?" And at the end of the conversation, he says to me, "By the way, Mike, what is it that you do?" Now, at this point, I've known Wayne for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally asked me, "Do you do?" And the happy ending to this story is eventually Wayne not only became a customer, but he also became one of my biggest referral partners, and he ended up referring me into an account that spent $250,000 with the company that I was with at the time.
Wow. Great. Yeah, it seems that, you know, taking that little extra step to try to help people connect, you know, basically making those connections, come, what you put out comes back, comes back to you. And guys, we're down to the last few minutes here, Mike. The one other thing I just wanted to get clarification on, and you mentioned writing a recommendation for people for your connections, because there are many, you know, radio guests I've had on my show that I would love to write recommendations to. You're talking about something over and beyond the endorsement aspect?
Yes.
Okay.
On LinkedIn, when you look at someone's profile, there's a little drop-down menu right next to their name. And if you
mm-hmm.
are a first-degree connection, one of those options is write a recommendation. If you look at my LinkedIn profile, you'll notice that I have either over 20 or over 30 recommendations for Mike Sheila Consulting. And they're all people that have either seen me speak or have had me for one-on-one coaching services over the last few years, but they're all writing their own perspective on why they think I'm valuable to the business world. And that is another item that moves you up the LinkedIn search rankings by having at least one recommendation for each job on your profile that you move up the rankings.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, this has been great. Gosh, boy, I have got my work cut out for me. I'll be probably doing a little bit more than 10 to 15 minutes a day for the short time. You've really provided some great information, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I've really enjoyed this.
My pleasure too, and also we are connected on LinkedIn. Strangely enough, not strangely enough, but so I appreciate. I'm going to follow what you do there as well, and also you're on Facebook and Twitter, and people can join you there through the homepage on your website. Correct?
I am very Googleable. You just type in the word Mike Sheila, you'll find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. All the major platforms.
Oh, great. Well, I didn't know one was Googleable, but I'll certainly go ahead and do that. So everyone can join you there. And I'll be, if I'm not, we're not connected on certain platforms, we will be by the end of the day. So I really appreciate you spending the time with me today, Mike. It's really been very, very helpful.
I'm glad to have done it, Robert. Thank you for having me on your show as a guest.
My pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Mike Sheila, and we've been talking about sales, marketing, and maximizing LinkedIn. And you can, again, find out more about Mike by visiting his website, which is www.mikesheila.com, and it's MikeSheLah.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.